So as you said, I'm Michael Yancey, and I've worked here at Microsoft for just over 7 years on the various incarnations of our stores that we've had. And I first started back here in Xbox, working on the Xbox Marketplace, and then we've worked over the years into now what's known as Universal Store. And I've been a big gamer ever since I've been a kid. I remember playing Super Mario Brothers on my grandmother's NES back in the day, and it's pretty much spun out since then. I still play games today. And also, probably the most important thing here for you guys, I'm deaf. Kind of obvious, kind of not. So I'm going to give you guys a brief overview of what it means to be deaf, and really going to kind of fall apart into two to three different areas. The first one, and probably the biggest and most obvious one, is that you have a loss of hearing function. And this can range from anything to complete and total hearing loss where you can't hear anything. And it can be light where you can only lose like high frequencies, low frequencies, or anywhere in the middle. And you can lose it anywhere from birth to getting older. And it tends to be more common as you get older that you lose your hearing function. The other thing is and this is particularly true for people who are deaf from a very young age, they tend to get introduced into a new language, and in this case, sign language. And here in America, we know this as ASL, American Sign Language. But different countries around the world have their own different sign language. So coming with the fact that we learn a new language, we come to embrace a new set of cultural norms and values. Because most people tend to think that your language drives your cultural values and what you believe should be true in the world around you. The other more interesting thing to mention here is the people who are born deaf, 75% of them are born into a hearing family. And these are families where they tend to be the only person that's deaf. So there's sort of a cognitive dissonance as you're growing up, because you'll have the ability to relate with people who are in the same boat as you. So just keep that in mind as we continue to go through the different types of experience. So this is kind of a very brief overview of what it means to be a deaf person in general. You can always come talk to me later and feel free to ask me any question. But we're going to go ahead and jump right in to talking about what my day-to-day experience gaming is. So the very first thing that most people do when they open the game for the first time, they tend to be launched into something that's a little bit like this. And this intentionally does not have sound, so FYI. And usually at this point I go, oh crap, I forgot to turn on the subtitles. So then I usually have to either stop this and hope that it will actually let me stop it, because some cases, some games don't let you skip it, and you have to sit there for the next 5 or 10 minutes waiting for it to stop so you can go back into the menu, turn it back on, and start all over again. So continuing on with that, once I actually started the game and we're playing the game a little bit, since I rely on subtitles to actually be able to understand what people in the game are seeing, there's a couple of different issues that we may run into. I'm not going to go completely in depth with this. Ian, who will be presenting after lunch, will go a little bit more in detail. But in this case, we have two problems. One is that it's really small. I mean, unless you're sitting in the front row, you're probably not going to be able to read this. And the other problem here is that there's some overlap with the subtitles where the color is kind of the same as the shirt, so it makes it a little bit hard to read. And continuing on from that is, this is another case where it's a little hard to read, but this is kind of illustrate a different problem. A lot of us know the game tend to have their own universe. They have their own story, everybody has their own background, everybody has their own little character. One of the things that I've noticed over the years as I play, the subtitles tend to only narrate the main story, the main character that you interact with. So if I'm walking around the main hub or whatever, and there's random NPCs walking around having conversations, normal people who can hear will actually be able to eavesdrop and kind of get a better sense of what the whole universe is about because they can actually listen in and understand what those conversations are doing. And I didn't really realize this until last year or two. And in particular, Mass Effect Andromeda is really good about this. And I was walking around the main spaceship and the main hub area, and I saw a subtitle pop up, people having conversations, and I thought someone was actually talking to me. But it's really just random people around me that are talking, and it becomes much more relatable for me to actually relate to the story. And that's not something that you see very frequently in games. It's something that you tend to miss. So this is just kind of like the single player experience, and I'm going to go much more in depth talking about games, especially when you have to work cooperatively, either in competitive scenarios or, in this case, cooperative. And I'm going to pick on Destiny a little bit. So Destiny is the game that's been out for a few years, and I'm sure most of you know what it's like. You walk around, you shoot things, hopefully you don't die. But in this case, once you get towards the end of the game, you can participate in what's called a raid. And this is an example of one of the raids in the game from the Taken King expansion. And this is King's Fall. And this very last part of the game, there's actually a very complex set of actions that you have to take to be able to accomplish the raid. And in this case, I'm going to briefly explain what has to happen here. You have a party of six people. One of the persons gets designated what's called the runner. And the objective of the runner is they're supposed to hop on a set of platforms to get a special spark of light so you can actually damage the boss at the end. Working together with the runner, there's a set of four people that have to hop on four very specific platforms in the area. The trick here is that these four people have to hop on the platform at a very specific time in a very specific order. So me as a deaf player, having to cooperate with people in this case where the only mode of communication is voice chat, I don't really have access to the same information and the same level of interactivity my teammates might have. So I tend to get relegated to damage control where I just run around and shoot things, which is funny, it's all right. But I don't really get the opportunity to participate in what I consider to be a more relevant experience in the game. So we've worked out different ways to do this. Me and the people that I tend to play with use Slack or Discord, and we have a room, we go in, we text chat. But there's still problems with the timing. We can't have one person sitting there staring at a keyboard trying to make sure that the people are doing the right things at the right time and that I get all the information at the same time. And this is not a new problem, and this is a problem that has actually been addressed in the past. And you have to go much further back in the early days of multiplayer games, especially when we're talking about World of Warcraft or Ultima Online, which have been around since before voice chat was actually a thing. You can see some examples of things that they've done. And in this case, World of Warcraft lets parties actually set symbols on the field, either assign them to a monster or just place them randomly in a specific spot. And this is one of the other ways. And the other way is Rocket League, for example, has the ability to do quick chat. People can go in and configure short messages. It can be whatever they want. Push in a specific combination on your controller or your keyboard, and it goes in the chat, either for everybody to see or for your teammates. And like I said, we're not reinventing the wheel here. And these are things that have worked in the past, and they still continue to work today. May not work for your game, but these are some jumping off points for you guys to think about. So that was with multiplayer games that kind of work properly. In competitive scenarios, it's very similar. And this is an example from Overwatch. And Overwatch has one really big glaring problem, actually two big problems. If you haven't played Overwatch before, you have a set of different characters that you can pick to play, and you play competitively against two different teams. And each character has what's called an ultimate, and each of these ultimates do different things. The objective is kind of hopefully kill people, revive people, or whatever. The key part here is that each ultimate has a very specific telegraph. And each telegraph, in as far as I've experienced, is very audible, and there's very few that are mostly visual. So if I'm playing with my teammates and someone on the other team decides to trigger the ultimate, there's a very specific phrase that they speak. I can't hear that in between all the explosions, the gun shooting. So there's no way that I know I need to go, oh crap, I need to get out of the way. There's no way I'm going to get that. And that's one problem. The other problem is that people who can hear have the ability to spatially place where people are coming in from. So in Overwatch, you can actually hear people walking near you, behind you, whatever, and you can actually figure out which direction they're coming from. So you know you have to turn around and kind of figure out who's walking behind you. So a lot of the times I'm getting shot from behind because I didn't hear someone coming up to me. Okay, so that's online, competitive and cooperative. Now we're talking a little bit more about local co-op type scenarios, and this is from Tomb Raider, one of the more recent games. And in this case, you can play locally with your friends to either solve puzzles, shoot monsters, whatever. And there's a lot of different things that are going on here. And you can kind of see there's really two major things that need to happen. There's a guy moving a ball that needs to move it into the switch. And there's a handle over there that you can pull to lower the gates in case someone needs to get through. So if you're working with another deaf person, or everybody you're playing with is actually deaf, the big problem here is that if we need to explain what needs to actually happen, coordinate our work, who's doing what, who's shooting, who's moving the ball, who's moving the switch, a lot of the times we have to pause the game, put down the controller, and then we have to sign to the other person. And for some people that works. For other people, it kind of disrupts the experience for them, because I don't want to have to necessarily pause the game to try to figure out what's going on. And other people, we can just hear and talk, or keep playing, screaming at the other person, trying to figure out what's going on. And there's also things that we've done to address this in the past. And in this case, Portal 2, which is a game that's been out for a while, actually came up with what I consider to be a clever way of doing this. And this worked across the internet and locally as well. You can see in this case that a player gets something that's called a ping tool. And the ping tool has a set of, if I remember correctly, six different messages that you can send. So it's like a form of quick chat. But the upshot here is that you can actually place it in the world, either on the wall, the floor, right next to a box, a switch, whatever. And by doing that, you can actually illustrate your partner what you actually want them to do. And that way you don't have to break the immersion, and people can actually just continue to play and actually figure out what's going on. So there's ways to help someone actually continue to play the game without interrupting their experience. So that's pretty much my day-to-day experience playing games. So how did this help you guys? So there's a couple of things you need to think about. Test your game. This is probably the most basic thing. If you're working on a game that requires sound, dialogue, or whatever, just test your game. It's easy to unplug in your headphones, your speaker, turn off the sound on your TV, whatever. Play your game. Ask yourself the question, did you understand everything that you did if you were hearing the game? Does the plot still make sense? Were you able to get every single piece of information that you need to accomplish your objective? And this is true for Xbox. The Xbox console, you most probably already know, has a system setting that lets you turn on closed captions globally for all the apps to use, and you can hook into it and turn it on. Use it, please. There's a lot of games out there that don't actually hook into this setting, so I still have to go into the options, hopefully remember to go into the options, turn on the captions before I start the game, and hope that they actually jump directly into the cutscene before I can actually get to a menu. Consider using readability as a test sign-off scenario. One of the problems that I've noticed more and more recently as we get into higher and higher resolutions, the captions get to be really, really, really hard to read. They're tiny. And I've noticed that kind of stems from the fact that most people who actually work on this game test it sitting 2 feet away from a 27-inch monitor. That's not really true for most people. So I want to call this the living room scenario. So always make sure that you test the living room scenario. Get a big 42-inch TV, sit at least 6 to 7 feet away. Can you still play the game with the subtitles turned on? Can you read it? Is it understandable? But Ian will go more into depth about the different types of things you can do with this. And if you have any concerns or questions about whether or not there's enough information, go overboard. Give us the ability to customize what we want to see. You can go all the way down to basic minimum where you should have dialogue that's subtitled. You can go all the way to the very end where you have environmental sounds are subtitled. You have side conversations that are subtitled. But give us the option to turn on what we want and turn off what we don't want. And then for the social scenarios, this is kind of where it gets a little bit tricky. You can do this yourself, but my personal preference is that you get other deaf people to come in, actually test this for you. Social scenarios tend to be a little bit different because there's a set of values that we as deaf people have and that you may not necessarily understand. And there's a certain set of subconscious desires and understandings that you guys may have that we don't have. So in this case, it's very ideal to bring in a couple of deaf people, play your game in a multiplayer, cooperative, competitive scenario, see what they get out of it and how you can help them get onto the same footing as their hearing peers. And there's a resource that someone set up in the last couple of weeks where you can just go to this website and people who have volunteered volunteer their time and their resources to help test your game in these different areas where it's hearing, where it's visual, where it's physical. So if you guys are having a hard time finding someone, you can always come talk to me. I'm here on campus and I have a fairly extensive network of friends who can help you test your game. Or you can go here and reach out to these people yourself. I think that's pretty much it for my presentation, but not everything is doom and gloom for deaf people. There are cases where our deafness is actually a gain. So in Zelda, we don't have to listen to Navi ping us every 5 seconds just because we're not paying attention to it. So thank you for your time. I hope you guys incorporate this in your game in the future. And I think we have a few minutes for questions and answers. So you have your microphone? Okay. Any questions?